The religious section of any bookstore will reveal books questioning the orthodox historical scriptural identity of Jesus. This is neither uncommon nor unexpected. False teachers are always around, and they never cease trying to deceive people into believing the wrong God. Jesus' question, "Who do you say that I am?" is one of life or death. That's not an exaggeration. You have to get it right, because God forbids idols, and he deals with humanity on his own terms. If you become confused over who Jesus is, if you miss who Jesus is, then you miss God's manifestation of himself in his only begotten Son. In other words, to get to the Father, you must go through the Son. Deny one, and you deny the other. Knowing who Jesus is, as revealed to us in his infallible, inerrant word, is central to our confession and life as baptized Christians. Jesus isn't just a man, but God incarnate, Emmanuel. That means God with us. He is the everlasting Son of the living Father. He is the Christ, the anointed one, sent into the world to make things right, ultimately by giving his own body over to death. This is not a peripheral teaching we can take or leave. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Idols are dead, God isn't. Worship the dead, and you belong to the dead. But faith in Christ means faith in the living, and it means you live with the living one. For those who know this and believe it, God counts you blessed. You are blessed in Christ, material things aside, against pounds of literature in which heretical scholars and theologians alike love to gain attention and money when slandering Jesus, stands this blessed word that doesn't fade in the face of heretics. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Attacking that confession only destroys the attacker. God's church prevails against hell. Hell has no power over the living one. All flesh is redeemed by him. And again, believing this and confessing it means life in God's kingdom and protection from eternal fire. Confessing Christ in this age is dangerous because the gates of hell are wide open and her hordes besiege the church, and God's children do suffer. How many of you thought just 20 years ago that people could actually lose their businesses and livelihood because they refused to bake a cake because of their Christian conviction? Or the photographer dragged to court because photographing a same-sex marriage violated his conscience and he said no. Those times are here. And such examples may foreshadow even worse things to come. Persecution is always a reality for the church. Just ask those Christians who live overseas in areas where people are applauded for killing Christians. Confessing Christ as the Son of the living God could mean bodily death, even for some of you. But the end is always life in heaven with God. Jesus is who he says he is, and he will do what he says he's going to do. And if warnings of persecution rattle your conscience or even your faith, it should comfort all of you to know that this confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, is not produced by the heart, and so it does not rely upon the heart. We might think we deserve at least some credit for finally figuring out who Jesus is and what he has done, but God gives none. Knowledge and faith in Jesus is not revealed from within, but from without. God reveals himself to dead sinners. Original sin isn't just a blemish on the body, but a total corruption of the flesh, robbing us of the ability to understand the things of God apart from him. Flesh and blood, says Jesus, do not reveal God's goodness and his mercy and his forgiveness. Rather, God reveals himself. And this revelation penetrates the hearts of all men from womb to deathbed. From infants to the infirmed, God reveals himself by his Holy Spirit. In these matters, when it comes to salvation and faith in Christ, there is no difference between infant and adult. All sinners need God's revelation of who he is and what he has done. Flesh and blood do not produce such a revelation. It is of God. By the grace of God, may we always confess him and his saving mercies and grace lavished upon us in Christ Jesus. It is upon this revelation of Jesus from which we open our mouths to confess him before a dying world that Christ will build his church. He will be revealed by his Holy Spirit that always works through his word. That Spirit will be poured out on people, and through the word of God reveal himself to sinners, brought to light, and given hearts to believe and mouths to confess. God will grow his church. So do yourself a favor, and don't panic when someone tries to scare you with depressing church statistics. Yes, they're real, and God will grow his church. You may not see it. You may experience the opposite. But when and where God grows his church is his good business. And he will do it. He will do it. In the meantime, work. Serve your neighbor. Live by faith, confessing Jesus as the Christ. And whatever persecution brings, recall God's promise. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Your salvation in Jesus, predestined before the foundations of the world, overcomes hell and her hordes every time. If you're worried about your ability to speak the truth, if you're worried about even the strength of your faith in the face of hell's gates, don't be. Because even these things, your faith and your confession, are gifts of a gracious God who promises you safe passage and perseverance in him. This means through death and into that blessed eternal life. Hell does not conquer the church, and it will not. It will not. Christ and his salvation, his atoning work as the sacrificial lamb, covers all of your sin. Living in him by faith means you are a child not of hell, but a child of God, a recipient of his love and total forgiveness. Now, we need reminders of these things, and Jesus would give it. Hear what he says to Peter, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Listen closely, because here, you see the connection between heaven and earth established by God himself. Sins bound here means they are bound before God in heaven. Sins forgiven here means forgiveness before God in heaven. Once again, God is working through created means to give himself and his mercy to sinners, in this case, people. The office of the keys is an office given to the church, exercised through God's called servants, especially in the office of pastor. If you had to ask the question, what good is a pastor, or what is a pastor for? Answer by saying, for binding and loosing sins. If he doesn't do that, he's not worth a dime. And such binding and loosing is never arbitrary, but to be done according to God's word, not personal opinions. When a pastor absolves you of sin, declaring you forgiveness according to the holy word of God himself, you are hearing God's absolution. I don't want to preach to the choir, but this is another plug for coming to church, right? To hear the audible word spoken by God's called servant. What is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. Absolution here is absolution before God in heaven. What comfort, what consolation, what peace. In Christ, the Son of the living God, you are not dead to your sin, but you are alive. The deadly effects of sin, they are many. Wiped out because of the Anointed One. Fear not to confess. You are blessed in Jesus. The gates of hell will not overcome his church, because he has already overcome hell itself by his cross and his blood. Your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which truly does surpass all human understanding, his peace, may his peace guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, the Son of the living God, from now unto that blessed life eternal. Amen.